Hello and welcome to another episode of the Buffering Podcast. My name is Dan Whelan. I'm coming to you here at the Wheels Brewing Co. Studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota on Black Friday. So, fixing this up to release today, taking a break from putting up the Buffering Podcast Christmas tree to release this episode for you. This week we had episode 61, which we taped on November 21st, 2012, with Curtis James and Drew James. Curtis had been on before. Drew, first time. Great to have both of them on with that sibling rivalry. We had a lot of fun with Movie Bluff, a lot of great discussions, new perspectives, good times were had by all. A couple things I need to plug before we get to episode 62. First, you can find the Buffering Podcast online at bufferingpodcast.com. Photos of our guests, archive of all of our episodes, bonus tracks, articles that Adam and I are writing. Check them all out. Also, you can find the Buffering Podcast on iTunes. Search for Buffering, my name, Adam's name, or any of our guests' names. You can also find the Buffering Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter, at Buffer Podcast. Follow us. Facebook, facebook.com/BufferingPodcast. Check that out. You'll get updates about when shows are being released, bonus tracks, photos, all that fun stuff. So check all that out. Finally, big announcement. Buddy of mine, John Egan, out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, comedian over there who's performing in the Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh area, is going to be contributing to the Buffering Podcast, doing a show. It's coming up in a few weeks. He will be on December 5th, so most likely we'll have an announcement then. Stay tuned to that. More content means better shows, good fun for you. Definitely get excited for that. But until then, here's episode 61. Enjoy.
So it's a little slow just because it's trying to process all this and stream it at the same time, but it's...
That's awesome, though.
It's fun.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that little tidbit that we just played.
That was awesome. I was more amused by that than you might expect.
It's magic. It. That's all it is.
It's witchcraft.
Definitely sorcery.
Here we are.
I'm ready.
All right, yeah, this is a good time to start.
Episode 61.
61. So thank you both for being on the show. We're just going to roll right into it. Curtis, you've been on before. Thank you for coming back. And again, I always express this as much as I can. Go Tommies.
Go Tommies.
You're 11-0 now?
We are 11-0.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, right now, my other favorite team's 11-0, but it's a little nerve-wracking going into this weekend to see what Notre Dame does with USC.
Yes, I'm a big Monty Teo fan.
Hmm.
Actually, I've always liked him since he was in high school. So I enjoyed that.
And they've got a tough one this week, too. USC.
Yeah.
USC without Matt Barkley, but USC.
Yes, but unruly, nothing to lose, USC.
True.
And I think, was it of the four times that Notre Dame has gone up against them undefeated, they've always been squashed?
Is that true, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
I think it was either...
Well, the last one would have been, what, back in 05 or 06? That's the one where Jimmy Clausen got stopped on the... Or Reggie Bush got pushed in by the back.
Yep. Yeah.
True.
But it was... I want to say it was the Wall Street Journal ran an article about it. And of all people, they interviewed Regis Philbin. just because he went to Notre Dame in, like graduated in 53 or something like that.
Makes sense.
And so with that... There's like, how nervous are you about the game? And there's like, fact, fact, fact. And there's talking about how they lost every time they went in undefeated. So.
Interesting.
Who knows? But that's a couple days away.
Yeah.
Huh.
Saturday, whenever that is.
Go Tommies, go Irish.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And go. Drew, thank you also for being on the show. First time.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Are you Twin Cities based or are you in for the holiday?
No, I'm Twin Cities based. I live actually with Kurt.
Aha!
We live in the same house.
Ta-da! Cool. I had no idea. So, learned something new.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We did, yep. I used to live out in Oakdale, and then I moved in a little bit closer to be closer to where the action is, because as it turns out, that is not in Oakdale.
No.
I wouldn't imagine so.
No. Not a whole lot going on in Oakdale.
Unless you like Fleet Farms. The action for Fleet Farms is outstanding out there.
Oh, which man. Is pretty high on my priority list. I do like Fleet Farms.
I did go to... Cool. The original Fleet Farm up in Brainerd.
Ooh.
But I was out there while camping and was had an agenda, so I didn't really get to soak it in as much as I hoped.
Yep.
Because that's what you want when you visit Fleet Farm, to be able to soak in the experience.
Yep,
just let it shower you with its history.
It's just a big hot tub, and I just want to sink right. in.
Definitely.
If it was filled with, like, nacho cheese or something.
Oh. Do they always have toys at Fleet Farm, or is it just for the holidays that they have just the big-ass toy catalog?
I think it's a holiday thing.
Ah, okay.
They have gummy bears.
I've been to many a Fleet Farm, and I haven't seen the big toy thing, so.
I see. Okay. My folks, a few weeks back, were sending me pictures of them having fun in the military surplus aisle, trying on ponchos from Eastern Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah. Is this in Mills Fleet Farm?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never wandered into the clothing or
you
anything like that.
You definitely should once in a while.
Yeah.
Fleet Farm's a place to be.
It's pretty neat.
I guess
it looked
so.
Pretty neat. So
it's sort of the hangout in Oakdale. The clothing aisle is the Fleet Farm.
Oh, so it's kind of like the fruit aisle to try to pick people up. It's that, but not a grocery.
It's the place to be.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's the cat's meow.
I had no idea. Well, on the show, we usually talk a lot about streaming stuff. So, Drew, since you're new, what do you stream? Do you do a lot of video, audio, both, neither?
All of the above.
All of the above. What services do you use?
I use a lot of Netflix, a decent amount of Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I buy things off of iTunes.
Okay, so you're like me. I think you're the first person who's willingly admitted to going on iTunes to purchase
It has video. Happened. It has happened. I also use torrent sites. Is that the legal thing to say around here? Torrent sites. I have occasionally frequented a torrent site.
Occasionally frequented.
Yeah, when you need something new and the price tag's HBO level.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, I gotcha. And are you watching anything specific on Netflix?
You know, I come and go. And the reason I come and go is because I've started. So we got DirecTV mm-hmm. at one point here. And when we got DirecTV, that means I can now watch Homeland.
Yes.
And so I had been watching Breaking Bad, and I mm-hmm. had been catching up in 30 Rock and catching up in The Office. Lost it. Totally lost it once I started watching Homeland. So that'll be the next step is probably to catch up again.
Yeah. So is it just watch Homeland but no filler, or?
Oh, there's
just
always
straight
filler.
Through.
There's,
okay.
Yeah, there's always filler. But
then it's just more of a random thing rather than investing in a certain.
Right. It's hard for me to bounce back and forth between five shows or six shows at
True.
The same time. And so it's easier to have one show you're trying to keep track of, or maybe two, and then just rewatch old shows, you know, whether it's Modern Family or How I Met Your Mother or something like that, where you know what's going on. You don't have to invest in it. And you don't,
right.
don't feel bad if you lose it for a bit.
The sitcom.
Right, right. But Breaking Bad had been the one. So at some point, I'm going to have to actually catch back up with that.
Cool. No, I actually had something perfect to go with this for Netflix because they just released their, I believe, everything that's going to be coming out in December. I actually tweeted
Ooh.
It, I believe.
Okay.
And with this fantastic technology, if it's, you know, maybe it's not going to work. I can just pull up the list because that will be easier. But it's everything that's coming out, and there are actually a couple notable things. I know that at the end of the month, Usual Suspects will be available on Netflix.
Probably my favorite movie.
Cool. Yeah, that's a great one.
I did find it on Blu-ray for like $5. They're not charging too much for that one.
It's not one of those movies, though, you necessarily want to own on Blu-ray. Here's my theory with Blu-rays is that I love Blu-rays that are new and coming out because they develop them for Blu-ray.
But yes.
A lot of times when they go back and remaster a DVD and turn it into Blu-ray, you really don't see a difference.
No, but I figured if I'm paying $5 for it, I might as well get
true.
A Blu-ray.
It makes no difference.
That
right.
is true.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when they remaster the audio, it makes a difference to the surround sound. But
yeah.
True. Yeah.
Or if it's one of your favorite movies, I mean, even if it's just a slight upgrade, it's better to have that over the DVD version.
I mean, I have like Man on Fire on Blu-ray and it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is.
Look at
that.
Whoa,
okay.
It's freaking out. Let's see if we can go.
Oh my God, Scream.
Yep. Okay. So for December 1st, couple things coming out that are recognizable. English Patient, Last of the Mohicans, Red Dawn, Scream, Jeepers Creepers, Bowling for Columbine, Identity.
Oh my God.
I
Identity.
Love that movie.
Oh.
Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2.
Agree to disagree. Identity has one of the worst endings I've ever.
Oh yeah, the worst. But it's just I loved how it was put together. Like I love the concept is fantastic.
If you can remember, if you know the concept, you can go back and watch it again. It's very enjoyable.
Yes,
because you're like, oh, I understand this now. The first time you watch it, you're like, that just happened. I hate this movie. I saw the movie with you, actually.
You did. You did, because I remember both of us sitting on the couch in the living room of our parents going, what just happened to
us? Half-Baked, young adult, new movie with Charlize Theron. Yeah, it's already out.
That was awful. That was the worst movie.
I figured as much. That was another... Producer Katie says it's one of the worst movies of all time, if you didn't hear that. That was Diablo Cody, yes? Yes? Yeah, the woman who wrote Juno and... something else recent. The one with girl who's hot but has no brain.
Tintin.
No, not Tintin.
No, The Adventures of Tintin is on this list.
Yes. Yeah. Transformers. What's her name?
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. Jennifer's Body. That was another Diablo Cody one.
That's an awful movie.
Yes, The Adventures of Tintin is coming on December 8th.
It's good. That is a Blu-ray movie. Because we're talking about Blu-ray movies, that one was made for Blu-ray.
I heard good things about that one.
Me
all
too,
around.
But I still Fantastic. I never got around to it.
The movie itself, maybe an 8, 8.5. Visually, it's probably a 10.
Yeah. Nice. Jeff, Who Lives at Home, which is a new Jason Segel movie, is coming on December 29th. One for the Usual Suspects. Oh. So what is that? That's
pretty big list though.
End of December. So on New Year's Eve, everyone will get to watch Usual Suspects.
Yeah, it's a pretty big, it's a pretty good list for 1 month.
It's going to be a good night for you.
Though, did anyone see the preview for House of Cards?
Yes.
The new Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, directed by David Fincher.
Yeah. It looks crazy.
Oh. It looks good, and which is good for Netflix, because they came out with that, what was it called, Lilyhammer?
Oh, that was awful.
It was terrible. It was terrible. There was so much hype, and it was bad, but this one, thankfully, looks like it's going to be better.
Yeah, before an episode, the week that they all came out, we sat down, and I think we watched 5, 10 minutes maybe, and we just had to turn it off because we couldn't watch it.
You're talking about Lilyhammer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was bad. But the next 2 years for Netflix, I think, are going to be not only important, but I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to be big years between that and Arrested Development.
Yes, especially.
Oh, yeah. That's going to keep them in good shape, I'm sure.
Optimistically. And then with that, the streaming network is always developing where they're making new deals with production companies over and over and over again. And it's going to be an interesting couple of years to see how it evolves to including price point, because they haven't raised their prices recently, but they're still trying to get this new content.
They're getting pushed more than I thought they would.
Yeah.
So, for example, Amazon Prime, they picked up The West Wing,
mm-hmm.
which Netflix had been pushing for the longest time to get that. But at the same time, so I'm not sure if you've heard or maybe you talked about this, but Amazon, they had the $8 a month. One point they had a monthly. Yeah, they dropped it this week.
Yeah.
They decided it didn't work, which obviously means that they didn't sell enough. But so it's interesting that other companies are trying the Netflix model and not able to pull it off.
Right. But I think they have the flat year rate and it costs the same or relatively the same, because I think I just paid it up front. And
it's about $80 a year.
Yeah. It's like 70-something mm-hmm. plus tax.
79 whatever. Plus tax, right. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice, but I mean, I do it for the 2-day shipping.
Yeah, and I think most people do. But at the same time, they're building out their platform so that they're going to have more TV shows and more movies. And it's possible, I think, in the near future. If anyone's going to compete with Netflix, it's probably going to be Amazon.
Yeah, Hulu's not going to make it. I know that Redbox is partnering with Verizon to create their own version, but they said that they're going to go with quality over quantity. So it'll be interesting to see a company try to do that with bigger names to see if anything really comes from it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I think the company that takes down Netflix ultimately will be the one that gets rights to movies as soon as they're released.
I don't know necessarily about that. I would say that the company that will win will be the one who can pull off the new releases. The company who, let's say Spider-Man drops on a Friday, by Sunday they already have it up on their site, you know.
Yeah, the timing.
Like exactly. Yeah. That I can see movies that just got released on DVD, you know, and I can watch them then on Netflix instead of having to go buy the DVD. And if anyone's going to do that, you know, I could see Redbox doing that.
Yeah, because they already have kind of an in with a lot of studios, since they do have a lot of the sooner release dates compared to any other streaming service.
Or, I mean, channel were to ever try to do it too, you know, like HBO, I know HBO On Demand or whatever it is, or pay-per-view, you can actually like buy the movie before it gets released on DVD because it's electronic. If anyone can even pull that off, that'll sweep the market by storm.
Well, for a period of time, a couple different production companies tried to release movies electronically same day as theater, but charge a reasonable, well, not reasonable, a sizable amount of money for it. Yeah. For instance, Tower Heist, the Ben Stiller movie,
yes.
was set to be released same day for pay-per-view. But I believe, do you remember what the price tag was? It was 40-ish to 50-ish.
Too high.
To get it same day as release.
Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken, the book Freakonomics, they turned it into a documentary at
yes,
one point.
Yes.
The documentary Freakonomics was actually released online before it hit theaters.
Yeah, there are a lot of documentaries to do that because they just kind of open it up to the world anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I know there's just a website out there that's dedicated to a library of documentaries that are available for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of why I was wondering that stuff like Bowling for Columbine wasn't already up on Netflix, but at the same time, maybe it's just what production house they go through.
And it might have been up before, and then they dropped it off, because Netflix likes rotating their titles.
True.
Right.
It's true.
I mean, it's one of those things, too. It kind of depends who's behind Netflix at the same time, too. Yeah. I mean, Michael Moore is Michael Moore, you know.
Money is still money.
That's true.
Rage Against the Machine was still a band, and they made money, but they...
Yeah.
We're going at a different... I had this weird moment where I was driving in a Lexus blasting Rage Against the Machine, and that just seemed wrong, but then I realized that, you know, how much money have they made from making their music?
Yeah.
So I feel like the ends justified the means.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like when you look at the world of documentaries, as we were kind of just talking about that, documentaries for the majority are made to inform the public and not to make money. Whereas Michael Moore is a man who makes documentaries necessarily not for that purpose. Like, he has a purpose for his documentaries, obviously, but I don't think he makes them to inform the public as much as just to
it's entertainment.
Make a name. Yeah.
He's poking the bear with a stick.
Yeah. Exactly. But he's also doing it for his own benefit, you know, where like if you look at what's his name, who did Supersize Me.
See, I was going to say he's kind of gone on a tear to the point where I feel like he's going more Hollywood.
Man Bear Pig.
Al Gore.
No, but yeah, he definitely is. You know what I mean? And he definitely
is. Yeah, what's his name? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I can picture his...
You're talking about the guy who Supersize Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also made 30 Days.
Yeah, the TV series.
Yeah.
He did one about
really
Comic-Con.
Yep.
No, that's not Tracy Morgan.
Oh, I never would have thought Tracy Morgan would make something like
no,
that.
No, but I think
Morgan
that,
Spurlock.
Yeah, originally when he made...
Oh, Morgan Spurlock, yeah.
Originally when he made, you know, like Supersize Me, he wasn't in it. I mean,
oh, yeah, that was...
It blew up, and then he was like, oh, I want to make more of these, but...
Yeah, the last one they did was the greatest movie ever sold,
yeah.
And all it was him going around and pitching his movie to big companies to get money out of them, and yep. Yes, that's one thing, but... I mean, he pimps himself more than the standard documentarian.
He changed, you know, and he flipped that switch.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a fine line between a true documentarian and a Hollywood documentary maker.
I would think, though, and I haven't read too many Michael Moore interviews, but I would think if they asked Michael Moore, do you consider yourself a true documentarian, he would say no. I would hope he would say no. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Michael Moore is the other side of the coin, where he does not make documentaries to inform. You know, he may make kind of, but I think he makes them to entertain and to...
I realized recently that he directed at least one Rage Against the Machine music video.
Interesting.
Because there's
Michael
a shot
Moore?
Of him. Yes. I think it was...
Can you imagine that conversation, by the way, when Rage Against the Machine approaches Michael Moore about directing a music video?
I feel like it'd be the other way around. But it was, I think it was Sleep Now in the Fire, and it's like him arguing with cops while they're performing outside of Wall Street, and then him getting dragged off by the cops. So it was very redeeming for somebody who's not a big fan of Michael Moore as a person.
Yeah.
And Rage Against the Machine.
I think a big argument against Michael Moore's status as a documentarian is the fact that he does go for the shock value in his documentaries.
Yeah.
And that does speak more to profit than to honest.
Even
you
just
know,
the topics that he talks
storytelling,
about.
Storytelling, yeah.
He goes for the big name topics.
Yeah.
He's like the Rush Limbaugh of the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It is just shock value and
I'm gonna,
making claims.
I'm gonna throw a label on him. I'm gonna throw Hollywood activist is the label I'm throwing on him.
That works.
But I would name that as the guy from
I feel like
Shawshank Redemption. Because they're kind of two classes of...
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. They're two kinds of Hollywood activists. They're
Morgan
the ones
Freeman.
Who are like the vegans of activists,
yeah.
where they have to tell you about it all the time,
yeah.
and every interview weaves it in there somehow.
Yeah.
But then there are the shock value ones who kind of go to the other extreme. They're, it's like the people who kill you with kindness, and yeah. then there's Michael Moore.
It's like those commercials for abandoned puppies.
Yes, Sarah McLachlan making me change the channel instantly. Oh.
I will remember you.
Da, da, da.
I still have faith in Morgan Spurlock. I mean, his series 30 Days was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen several episodes of it, and he covered things like what it's like to live your life on minimum wage, mm-hmm. and
so essentially doing nickel and dimed, but yeah. live.
And he took an adamantly Christian guy and put him in a Muslim family, and yeah. So like having a Christian man live 30 days as yeah. as a Muslim, it's just really cool stuff. And
yeah.
and I don't really see that as something that would be profitable for profit's sake, you know. I think it's just really honest, really cool documentary.
I do. So, I wonder how much they make off things like that. Because I just don't yeah. know. I don't have the numbers off the tip of my tongue. But yeah. it has to be profitable enough that, you know, in addition to having a big heart and, you know, just wanting to inform the world, sort of the Walter Cronkite view of documentaries. Yeah. But you got to make some money. I mean, he's pretty well known. It was distributed. A lot of his movies are distributed internationally. He's got to be making a decent chunk of change.
Well, I'm sure in his original documentary, too, before it was Hollywood. You know, I mean, if you look at Super Size Me, it wasn't picked up by any major label. He just kind of did it himself, which means yeah. that he probably picked up a large portion of that profit margin.
Yeah, yeah, with the ticket sales from that were, or the profit for the ticket sales was crazy. It's in the top, I think, 25 to 50
yeah.
Highest grossing movies based on production versus profitability.
What's number one for that, Blair Witch?
It, that was definitely high up on the list, too. I'm trying to remember. That one still costs a little money, but I'll have to find this list. I'll see if I can post it and put it out there, because I remember seeing it, and Super Size Me and Blair Witch, and there were a couple other...
Saw, I would guess, would be up there.
Yeah, the original Saw.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you wouldn't believe how expensive it is to produce a camera angle that is just two eyes and part of a nose and a forehead and a stocking cap. That's just really...
That was actually CGI.
That's complex cinematography right yeah. there.
And they did all of their stuff in one room.
Yeah, and the puppet in Saw was claymation. 3 years.
Yeah, right.
Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Of course it was Tim Burton. Why wouldn't it be? So, Curtis, what are you watching? What are you listening to?
Well, a lot of my stuff... Well, okay, let's... which we'll start with watching.
Yes.
Well, right now, I am kind of like Drew, except I stayed with it. I'm finishing up on Breaking Bad right now. I'm almost yep. Complete. I'm into the season that just was on.
Okay.
So, making my way through that.
How many seasons have there been of that one now?
Just finished with five, if I yeah. believe right.
Five. Okay.
So one through four on Netflix, and then five I'm stealing from elsewhere.
Ah.
But, yeah.
Borrowing. You're borrowing.
I'm borrowing. So I intend to give back or delete.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really enjoying that, obviously. I mean, I think it's in its best few seasons here at the latest. Things that I'm up to date with right now are Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. It's a weekly endeavor for me right now, which is fantastic.
Do you watch on Netflix or... Do you watch elsewhere?
Yeah, they have DirecTV now.
We have DirecTVs. So I watch AMC.
Okay.
Okay. Not like Dish customers who still are without.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Because I was trying to catch up on Walking Dead because I know they just posted season two.
Yep.
And there was an episode where they jumped from one thing happening to
yep.
them they, being surrounded by people.
Yep. They did. They yeah. In season two, they had a couple of mistakes like there where it was just plot points where they would like finish on an episode and something was happening and they'd start on a new one and something was like
completely resolved.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, exactly. And they just were they'd brush it away by saying, "Oh yeah, remember that time?
Oops." Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not they actually Netflix. Like it's not actually no. Netflix flipping the episodes around. It's
no, it's
just...
not. It happened a few times. The other
hey,
series.
Now this is happening.
The other series that they did a horrible job with that in was actually Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights would have, like, the end of season, let's say, like, three, would be, like, them in the championship game and, like, throwing, like, they just started the championship game. Yeah, you know? And then season four would start, and it would be, like, the start of the next season. You're like, where the hell is this giant-ass gap? And they would never explain it. Or, like, it would be they'd end an episode mid-game, and then the next episode would take place, like, 2 weeks later.
Is that because they would lose an actor?
No, not necessarily. They lost actors in between seasons, but a lot of them like would be because of like graduation, you know, and they'd still be in there because, you know, a lot of them were signed on for the whole series.
Okay. Right. I just thought maybe they would hit the end of a season, they'd be in the big game, and all of a sudden, you know, the wide receiver decides not to come back to the show, and they go, oh, well, that was cool how we won last year.
Yeah, no, a lot of them even still made cameos.
Hey, there's
after
the trophy.
Quote unquote graduated. But yeah, so they did that. They accidentally did that a lot. They got better in season 3, and season 4, I haven't noticed anything yet.
Hmm.
Or wait. Yes, season 4 is on right now.
Of Friday Night Lights?
No. Walking Dead. We're back on Walking Dead.
There we are.
Season 4, I think, is on right now, because I think season 1 and 2
are on Netflix.
They're on
Netflix,
yep.
And so season 3 must be
in transition, or whatever you'd want to call
it. I think so. Either way, the season that's on right now is fantastic. And then the other one is Dexter. I've always been talking about Dexter ever since I've been on here.
Mm-hmm.
And this season of Dexter has been very entertaining. In a much different way, though. And I don't know if you guys are watching it or not, but we kind of talk about, Jack and I, about how every other season of Dexter has almost been like a superhero movie where you have a clear-cut villain, you have a clear-cut plot line, and you kind of know how they're going to get there, but you're on the edge of your seat as they do it each week. Whereas this episode or this season, I think, has been a little bit different, where you know there is no clear-cut villain. There's a couple of different storylines going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's progressing as far as character development very well, but I don't think that there's one Trinity killer who's out there, where you're like, oh, let's go, which is fantastic. I'm really enjoying it.
See, I wish I got into it just to see John Lithgow, but yeah. At the same time, I don't have the attention span for thriller drama. Like, I am the Cartoon Network was made for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've noticed, I've watched a couple shows and just kind of focused on what was going, like how they structure the story and everything. I've noticed that in a lot of children's shows, there is no breath of air. Like, yeah. It's just dialogue, yeah. Action, dialogue. It does not stop. Nope. And it's like, well, it holds my attention really well, but
that's probably why our kids have so much ADD right now.
Yeah.
Damn you, Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, but I still love them.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Cartoon Network, definitely. that's been my most recent addiction. Well, I wouldn't say addiction. Interest. Adventure Time. I've gotten into Adventure Time.
I've done the first two seasons. I got them through through iTunes because it's not available on Netflix yet, and it's entertaining, and it's fun to see a lot of the cast members because I recognize them as current stand-up comedians, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But it's just, I do understand Dave's issue with it from a design standpoint since it is so simple, but at the same time, that does really add a lot to it just as it's a cartoon, so it doesn't really need.
Right.
You'll have to give me a crash course here.
We've left our guests. I'm not sure behind. What it is. Basically, oh my gosh, how to describe Adventure Time?
It's a time with adventure.
Dora the Explorer.
There is Jake the Dog.
Hold on, I'll pull it up on the big screen.
You might think that explains it. That does not explain it.
That makes me more confused.
Jake the Dog, Finn the Human.
The one in the upper left looks like the Grudge.
Those are the two main characters, and it's just a really goofy show. It's also probably responsible for the ADD of the
younger generations. It's a perpetuation for sure.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
I'm trying to find... Oh, here we go. Let's go with good old-fashioned Wikipedia, because that answers
the best way to do anything.
It's like
everything.
Take
Adventure Time is an American animated TV series created by Peddleton Ward for the Cartoon Network. The series follows the adventure of Finn, a 14-year-old human boy, and his best friend Jake, a dog with magical powers
who's
to change its shape to grow and shrink at will. Finn and Jake live in post-apocalyptic land of ooh. Ward describes Finn as a fiery little kid with strong morals, while Jake is based on Bill Murray's character of Tipper Harrison from Meatballs.
You know, I never thought about that before, but that is a really perfect description of him.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's like, if you take, like, Legend of Zelda meets some other dungeon crawler, and then you, like, pour a little, like, never-ending story on top, and and just, like, I don't know.
And the fancy and wonder of olden days Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely some of that there, too.
Definitely.
And but then when the time is right, just sprinkle a little adventure on the top.
Yeah, and some garlic.
That's right. And some garlic.
And the garlic. With your hands.
With your hands.
Mixed thoroughly.
Interesting.
And there's like Lady Rainicorn, who is a giant unicorn that flies by like floating on rainbows. That's and she normal. Speaks Korean.
Sure,
and,
makes sense.
Yeah. In the land of Ooh, there are multiple kingdoms. Like there's the candy kingdom where everybody's made of candy, and then there's other obscure things that, where they take an adjective and then everyone is that same adjective.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or had, noun or whatever.
I had a funny moment now that I can share with the group.
Oh.
Now that you just reminded me, talking about the unicorn and flying and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a much different topic, but don't ask me how it links.
I'm terrified for this transition.
No. So we're headed up. Our football team was headed up to Concordia Moorhead.
Now and, I'm even more terrified.
Playing the unicorns. Okay.
Yep. No. Concordia Moorhead is the cobbers. Corn. Cobbers.
Ah.
You're with us. Yep. No, but we're headed up there, and we were watching Avengers, right? We're watching Avengers as an offensive on the offensive bus, and we're all pretty much enjoying it. And all
good
of a sudden,
choice.
The guy in front of me, by the name of Grant Garris, is a senior out of Eden Prairie. It's in the final battle scene, and Nighthawk shoots his bow without even looking, you know, and hits some dude flying.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, Hawkeye. My bad. Yeah. My bad. Nighthawk's a different character.
Right.
Yes, Hawkeye. And he turns around. And he goes, "Well, that's not realistic." He's like, "Nobody could be that accurate with a bow." And I just had to
and
pause.
And then the giant thing flies yeah. by. Yeah.
Well, I had to pause.
That
and
was
I'd
the
like,
moment
out of
he
this
suspended
entire,
his disbelief. Right?
Out of this entire movie of everything going on, that's the piece that's unrealistic.
Whoa.
Is how accurate he is with his bow.
It's highly improbable that he would make that shot.
I remember several years ago, Kurt and I and our stepbrother Joe, we went to a movie called Cowboys and Aliens.
Okay.
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
Everybody's familiar with, and Joe's one of the funniest movie watchers you've ever met, because he'll love a movie up until he decides he doesn't love it, and then just done, just does not care for it one bit. But so we made it all the way about three quarters of the way through this movie until they have a scene where they end up meeting like a Native American tribe, and they're sitting and like there are spirits that are coming out of the fire, and there's sort of this whole like hallucination type scene, and at that point Joe leans in and he goes, "Well, I don't understand why that would be. This movie's stupid." And so everything leading up to that point, the aliens taking out the cowboys, that was totally normal, but it was the Native American scene that got him. Yeah,
yeah. And the fact that their hallucinogens made him remember, he's like, "That wouldn't happen." He was not happy about that.
Aren't there people who do like those peyote trips or whatever?
There are.
They did it on The Simpsons.
It's goofy, though.
Except it was not peyote. It was extremely spicy five-alarm chili.
With chili. It was the crazy peppers from...
Guatemalan insanity peppers, right?
And Johnny Cash was the voice of the coyote.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Johnny Cash.
Died the same day as John Ritter.
Rest in peace, John Ritter.
It was weird because two Johnnies died in the same day.
Yeah.
It was weird. But not those Johnnies.
Bad day to be a Johnny.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm a Tommy.
Yeah, exactly.
Good dude.
Man, that connection.
So kind of jumping from Johnny Cash over to music. Earlier we had asked what music I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
My album right now, my theme song as I walk through the world.
The ether of the world.
Yeah. Macklemore's The Heist.
Oh, yes. Isn't that awesome?
It is beyond fantastic.
That has been... Did you get the regular CD or the deluxe?
And I downloaded it.
Because,
the deluxe, yeah.
Because... Yeah. Well,
got it from Dan.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. Yeah. I also love the deluxe because it has what's it? It's not Standing Ovation. It's Victory Lap.
Yep,
Victory Lap is one of my favorite tracks on there, and I just enjoy the hell out of that. And was really happy that I found out that it's on the deluxe.
Yes, outside of the two tracks, I consider Can't Hold Us and Thrift Shop the two like major tracks on that CD.
Same Love gets a lot of respect.
Oh yes,
for
I agree. I agree.
For the message. So
if you take those three out, which I consider the three main tracks, I think that my favorite like subtrack on there, which actually it's one of those albums. If the listeners have not heard it before, I highly recommend you go get it because it's one of those albums you can just listen to and just turn on and just
definitely.
Do whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
But either Cowboy Boots, I'm a big fan of, or Gold.
Gold's great.
Yeah.
Wings, I like too.
Yes. Wings was actually released way earlier on a mixtape. This is the first album it's been on.
Yes.
But yes. Yes.
Yeah, I also like the music video with that one too.
Yes, it's great.
But I was really upset because Rolling Stone didn't give it a good review. I think they gave it either 2.5 or 3.5 stars out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those people. I think the mass public, especially I think our age, really appreciate. And I really love that new style. I've talked about before, I think it was the first podcast I was on.
Yeah, yeah.
Is how I love that style of hip-hop, that kind of new old age style of hip hop, that bebop kind of beat, where B.O.B. kind of went and where Chitty Bang goes, and
yeah,
that kind of style. I really enjoy it.
And for that style, I don't think Rolling Stone is also the best. I mean, I remember, if I recall correctly, they slaughtered Childish Gambino's album too.
Right. I just trust them. I trust them so much for movie reviews because I usually align with them a lot on that.
Yep.
And I haven't paid a lot of attention to the music reviews, but I figured, hey, why not check it out when it finally comes out? And every other site I've been to, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 5 out of, you know, I mean, everything.
It's phenomenal.
And then Rolling Stone's like,
meh.
2.5.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Is that
whatever.
Peter Travis? Who's there? Who's Rolling Stone?
Peter Travers, yeah.
Travers, yeah.
Yeah, movies. Yeah. But yeah, I'm big on that. And then obviously, I've talked about in the past, Time Flies has their new EP dropping next, maybe it's like December 4th or something like that. Pre-orders are out now. And then they just dropped their new music video. But I like Time Flies. I've talked about them already, though.
Nice.
Cool.
And actually, this might be the perfect time to get into our game, Movie Bluff.
I wanted to mention one more thing that came out yesterday, Tuesday. Just trying to get it pulled up here. But it's
November 20th for anyone listening at home.
Yeah. Stop trying to Soundhound things. Go back to my recently searched history. Where is it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't care if there were no close matches. Stop
there
it.
There might have been.
I'm not looking for close matches.
Maybe you have.
The meatloaf.
I am a sound hound.
Okay. Yes. Here we go. Atoms for Peace. They have a new album that came out. It's Tom York and a bunch of other people. But yeah. So
interesting.
I've heard it a couple times on The Current, and it just sounds like it could potentially be really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to look into it a little bit more, but yeah. Yeah. Something to check out online.
Check out.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what's going on.
So, yeah.
I feel I'll check out anything that has to do with Tom York.
Yeah.
What if they're naked photos?
I'll check it out.
You weirdo.
Anyways, so also I'd love to remind you guys that you can hear Buffering on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and beyond. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Yes.
There you go.
Now, Drew, did you get briefed on Movie Bluff on the way over or at all?
No.
No. Do you know the concept,
good
the six
job,
degrees
producer,
of Kevin Bacon?
I do.
Or how IMDb works, essentially.
I do.
So the game is kind of draws a lot of parallels with that, where hypothetically, if I were to say the Avengers cast, it would be up to Curtis to say somebody from the cast of the Avengers, if you wouldn't mind. Anybody?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. And so with that, now he has two options. He can say movie and have you name a Robert Downey Jr. movie, or he could say cast and have you continue on the Avengers cast list. And so it just keeps going around until somebody either gets something wrong and is called on it, or they get stumped and they give up, or they get stumped and they can also call bluff on the person who challenged them. So if you tell somebody to name something, either you have to sound really confident or you have to know what you're you have to know what the next step would be.
Sure.
So like if you said, if he said Robert Downey Jr. movie, and then you said Sherlock Holmes 2. And you said cast, and you said it, sent it to Adam, and you didn't know. He could call your bluff, and then you'd be out. But if you knew it, and he called your bluff, then you'd stay in, he'd be out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's last man standing, so it just keeps going around until people get knocked out. Then it's down to one-on-one, and we instigate kind of a...
A quick round rule. It's like 20 seconds or something.
Yep.
Don't dawdle, essentially.
A time limit. Yep.
A don't dawdle rule. I like that.
Other than that, you can do movies...
This podcast is about sportsmanship.
Yes. We do movies and TV shows, so you can bounce around in that. And the other thing is the trilogy rule, where if any movie is named that's a part of a series or trilogy, which we consider like
Dark Knight.
Each individual Bond actor is their own little series, or Harry Potter is more than a trilogy, so all of that is encompassed. Mm-hmm. Old Star Wars versus new Star Wars, but anytime any movie within a movie or trilogy is named, you can't name another movie within that series for three movies.
Okay.
So you can say as many people as you want, but you still have to say three movies between them before you can go back. And we actually kicked this off last week where we did that with people, and it worked out okay. where I said Michael J. Fox after a while having Michael J. Fox had been said before, and everyone had essentially verbally approved it as well, and we went with it, and I think we could do the same thing with that.
I don't follow.
People?
So you're saying that after three movies, you can say the same
person? After three people,
person?
You could say the same person again.
Yeah. So if I said Robert Downey Jr., and then all of a sudden got back to Dan, and Dan has the option, let's say, I don't know, in some weird instance, it got to you, and, you know, it's...
Yeah, right. I get it, but I'm weary of that rule, because
it's
we don't
putting
want to
healthy space between.
Yeah.
It's just three is kind of been the magic number.
Yeah. I just don't want that to lead down the same...
Oh, no, no,
I don't
no.
want it to get circular.
I just want to make sure we protect sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's something worth investigating, but maybe not putting into stone yet.
Yeah. I don't think in the podcast I've been on before, we've never really had an issue with that.
No. Yeah.
Someone might pop up in a separate round again, but that's about it. And a lot of times you have the option to go down that road again. You'd be like, oh, Bill Murray, you know, but we said him earlier. So you're like, someone else.
Because I think Michael J. Fox did come up in a separate round.
No, it was the same round. Because really? We actually said, the comment was said, oh, it's been long enough, right?
Ah. Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I don't recall.
It worked out okay. And
yeah.
Whatever.
And the point of clarification on the trilogy rule, the trilogy is defined as having a cast that is similar or predominantly the same.
And you get that, right?
Yeah.
You understand that. Yep. So, like, the diehards are all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
There you go. Okay. So.
Or like Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah, and Harry Potter is all eight movies.
Yeah.
But the Bonds are different.
Yeah, the Bonds, based on which Bond it was,
essentially.
Because
the cast is not mostly the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So, yes.
Yes.
I'm same with the Batmans.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So, originally, since Bill Murray had come up in the Adventure Time description, I was going to say that, but...
We do need a good theme for this round.
I feel like with Thanksgiving...
Okay.
There could be something better that would come out of that. So I say whoever can come up with either the best...
Martin Short.
All right.
Don't start.
Rut-row.
Well, no, I'm going to bounce off of that.
Okay.
So not to go with Martin Short specifically, but something that Martin Short was in and say the Three Amigos cast to you.
Why do you start there?
Because there's a... Is that one not a softball? Because
that's not a movie I've seen.
Okay, I wasn't sure because that comes in waves for our collection. So
it does.
is that the Steve Martin movie?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it is. So I'll come up with a better softball, not using Martin Short, and just go back to Bill Murray movie because that works out so well anyway.
Nice. All right. Royal Tenenbaums cast.
Gene Hackman movie.
Ooh. Okay. What else have I seen him in? Crap.
A lot.
I have seen him in a lot, but...
He's in literally every movie.
I know. I could name any movie.
Finding Nemo.
He was the shark, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey!
Party foul.
My floor and a bag.
That's my headphones bag.
Well, at least it didn't, like, go into it.
That's true. It's just on the outside.
Isn't
I'm not sure if it's
isn't
waterproof.
Isn't that what it's made for?
Well...
To defend against clutter on the outside?
Probably.
To be fair, I'm not sure that this would be called clutter.
Katie.
Oh, all right.
You're pushing it into the rug.
All right, so Adam, while you're... stressed
he's stalling.
Out.
He's
I'm holding,
stalling.
I'm holding my bag aloft so it does not stay in the.
They planned this,
wet.
Right? But you're holding the episode.
He tapped her.
Aloft.
He tapped her.
I'm holding
she...
the. Yeah.
He gave her the signal.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
I'm in trouble.
Crap. Oh yeah. No, I didn't cause this diversion at all.
Now I have 15 Gene Hackman movies.
For whatever reason, I'm blanking tonight. So I'm going to bow out and pass it to Dan.
All right. I'll go with The Replacements cast.
Keanu Reeves movie.
Point Break cast.
Patrick Swayze movie.
Ghost.
Please
cast.
Please.
Demi Moore.
Damn it. I was so optimistic. All right. Whoopi Goldberg movie.
Oh, shit.
Sister Act.
Movie.
So wait, so, so
another
how do I
movie
this?
With Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
Yep.
Or
TV show.
Or TV show.
Okay. National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon.
God.
Oh, yeah.
Crap. And then you have to lock it in with movie or cast.
Cast. It actually opens it up a decent amount.
Yeah, actually, I know people in this.
It does, except for the fact that I haven't seen this one.
One of the best spoofs of all time.
You and I might have a fun round if he can't guess someone.
Truth.
See, but it's National Lampoon, so you'd think there'd be some sort of underlying
continuity of
collective.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I am just going to force you, or I'm going to give you the benefit of this since you're new, and I'm going to challenge you so you get to launch into the one-on-one. So you have to name somebody who's in.
So Kathy Ireland is in it.
Okay, and then with that, you get to say movie or cast to Curtis.
Cast.
So who else is in there?
Emilio Estevez.
That is movie. That's correct. Mighty Ducks cast.
There are a couple names here.
Yeah, there are.
Rube Goldberg.
I know other names by character. Damn it, I know that's not him.
Quack.
Quack. I know.
Quack. 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 Quack.
Quack.
Flying V.
There are, I'd say there are two that I can think of. Wait, well, I know one by name. The other one I know by other character.
I know at least two. I know Charlie, and I know he was in Dawson's Creek. I do not know the actor's name.
I do.
I know you do. And then that leads me to trying to think of other people in that movie.
Right.
That...
Because there weren't a lot of notable kids. There are kids, like, they went on to do other things.
Yeah.
But there are only a couple who had household status for a bit.
Yeah. Oh, and I know another person who's on there, and I don't know his name, but I hate him.
Oh, yeah, him.
So you think you can come up with something in...
No, I know his first name, and I don't know his last name.
Talk it out for a second and a half.
His name is Keenan. He's on comedy, or he's on SNL right now.
Oh. Well, half credit, kind of.
It doesn't count. I'm going to pass. What is his full name?
It's Kenan Thompson, and he was actually in the second one.
Ah, okay.
True. It's because he was on, like, what, the LA or something?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Who was Dawson's Creek boy?
Joshua Jackson.
That's it.
Danny Tamborelli was also a part of that from Pete and Pete.
Ah, I was going to say.
And I can never remember her first name. Is it Marguerite Moreau? The figure skater,
the
Connie
sister,
Moreau, Marguerite Moreau.
Yeah, it's she played the sister of Danny Tamborelli. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
interesting.
She's in a decent number of movies
well,
these days.
Drew
now,
gets
too.
A point.
Yeah, Drew gets the first point.
Thank you.
Well done.
And Adam, since you were the first person out for this round, do you think of the next thing? And it goes to Drew.
What a goofy round that went, by the way.
Yeah, that was interesting. That really was.
We got a
you should bone up on your movie. Mighty Ducks.
I know the characters. I know the storyline. The problem. Actors.
This isn't a storyline.
They're only known for Mighty Duck. Let's be serious.
Come on. Joshua Jackson was known for more than Mighty Ducks.
Emilio Estevez.
Joshua Jackson was known for more than Mighty Ducks.
I'm gonna start off this round with, and it's going to Drew. Okay. Okay. So.
Screw him.
Usually we try to do softball to start.
Something I know that he doesn't.
Yeah.
Do that.
How do you feel up?
Don't
for the,
ask him
for
that.
The sake of softballing, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I know of him. The problem is I'm not sure that Kurt's going to do any better because the few things that I know, Kurt probably doesn't know anybody else in it. So you're pretty much just eliminating Kurt.
Softballing then will not succeed there. Okay.
That could be fun.
Or you could just as easily say movie as well and just perpetuate it for a second and a half optimistically. But
I don't
still,
know who that is.
Yeah, it could go anywhere. But let's...
Nathan Fillion was the star of TV show Castle.
Indeed. Still is. But that's not who I'm going to say. I'm going to say Will Smith.
I like that better.
Movie.
Oh my God. I could name thousands.
Yeah.
I could name
Open
thousands.
It up.
We're kooshballing it
we
now.
Could just roll on the Will Smith movies for a while.
Oh yeah, I'd do that.
Okay, let's go Ali movie.
Bad Boys 2 movie.
Wild Wild West movie.
Men in Black movie.
7 Pounds movie.
Ooh. I, Robot movie.
6 Degrees of Separation movie.
I Am a Legend movie.
Bad Boys 1 movie.
Shark Tale movie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Pursuit of Happiness. Did anyone say that yet?
No.
I'll take that one and say movie.
Okay. Men in Black 2 movie.
It's been long enough.
Did we go with I, Robot movie?
I believe didn't. That's been
said.
Oh, dude.
I said it.
Yeah, that one has been said.
I said it.
So what else you got?
Enemy of the State movie.
Ooh, Gene Hackman again.
Yeah, I was going to say that was my other Gene Hackman.
Damn. Well, now I know.
Yeah, now it gets into crunch time a little bit, but there are a couple things left.
Yeah, I could also go TV show if I needed to.
But why would you?
But why would I, you know?
Oh.
Ooh, I got mine.
Oh, okay. I've got a couple.
There are a couple key things.
Yeah,
I feel like if this gets back around to me, I'm in trouble.
Can I go ahead and list off things to make sure that people have said them?
Yeah.
People have said I Am Legend?
Yes, I said
that. Yes.
Okay. Men in Black was spoke about too soon ago.
I said that.
Wild Wild West was spoken of.
Yep, yes.
Correct.
Trying to think about other really good Will Smith movies.
I think what you mean is other Will Smith movies.
I mean, I've got three.
Oh, damn it. How do you have three?
I have three.
And I know as soon as I hear them, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah.
If you really need to, you can break the chain as well, because it's not like we're required to stick on one person.
No, because I have movie to me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's true.
Still.
Well, I guess then you can twist it if you feel like it's not going to work its way back to you successfully. Otherwise.
Yeah.
I feel like I should own them.
Oh, yeah. I feel like they're a handful I'm just not thinking of right now.
Yeah.
That I own.
Three for sure I have that haven't been said.
I just have the one that I need.
Oh, four.
Oh.
Four.
It's I when you don't four. Need to think about it.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air movie.
Movie?
Yeah.
I can say another movie.
I see how that works. Okay.
And I am going to say Jersey Girl.
Oh, no.
And I Feel Evil, cast.
What? No.
Yeah, shut him down.
Fine. Hitchcock, Shark's Tale, Independence Day. Mm. And...
I already said Shark's Tale.
Oh, Shark's Tale came up.
Oh, you did. Okay. And yeah, my fourth was Fresh Prince.
Independence Day.
Oh, and Hitch.
How was that one? Oh, my gosh, Hitch.
Jersey.
Never saw it.
Ouch, my pride.
Good choice.
In Jersey Girl.
Jersey Girl.
Will Smith played Will Smith.
Did he really?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
That doesn't help me.
And you can't go directors, by the way, Drew.
No.
Yeah, we stick to
unfortunately. Shoot.
This Jersey Girl was Kevin Smith, wasn't it?
Matt Damon movie.
Again, so many different ways you can go with this.
Unless you want to challenge that.
See, the problem is I haven't seen Jersey Girl.
Oh.
So that makes it sort of hard for me to do that. I'll go Good Will Hunting, cast.
I think I got away with that.
Oh, you definitely did. Okay. I don't have the knowledge to be able to call you on that.
I'm going to go ahead and say Jersey Girl was, and this is my answer for this too, Ben Affleck was in that movie.
That would have been, for the record, if it had somehow gotten passed to me, just as a sheer out of the blue guess, it would have been Ben Affleck.
And Ben Affleck is my answer for this, and I'm going to go movie.
See, I was thinking, it's like, oh man, you're so close. You're like half step away from him.
Well, I was thinking about Kevin Smith kind of tipped me off because before that I didn't have a clue, but thanks for the hint.
Yeah.
I would have shut you down if Ben Affleck.
I was thinking Ben Affleck. No, that's too obvious. Let's go with Matt Damon.
You actually could have gone Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith is in that movie.
Ah.
I realized that after I said it.
Yeah. I am going to say... Oh, shit, I just forgot the name of that movie.
Nice, we got him.
I've never heard of that one.
No, 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 it's not Deep Impact.
Oh.
it's the other one that had Michael Clark Duncan, and I'm ruining this so that I can go a different direction because now I can't use this. Ben Affleck.
I know that one.
I know exactly what he's speaking of.
Yep.
I feel stupid for not knowing it because...
It shows up on TNT once a week.
Oh.
It really does.
Yeah, it does because it's Armageddon.
Yeah.
What a fantastic
movie. But still, having said one of... Well, he wasn't paying attention. I'll just say Armageddon movie. No, Armageddon... Shit, I locked it in. Fuck.
Yeah, you did.
Ben Affleck movie.
I know who I want to say.
Who?
Steve Buscemi.
I don't think that's a movie at all.
Yeah, would you like to lock that answer
in?
You said movie.
Steve Buscemi would have been a good one, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so another Ben Affleck movie.
Ben Affleck made a movie called Steve Buscemi?
That doesn't make any sense.
I bet that's pretty good.
It's like being John Malkovich, but Steve Buscemi.
It's the prequel to Gone Baby Gone.
What Ben Affleck movie do I want to do?
Matt Damon.
That comes up almost every movie. Love. It's great.
Dogma movie.
Oh, fantastic movie.
Chris Rock cast.
It's a movie too for Ben Affleck.
Oh, he said movie.
Well, that's two in a row.
Yeah, brutal, brutal. Okay.
I would have liked Chris Rock though.
Yeah, Chris Rock the movie.
Ben Affleck movies, huh?
I got one.
There's a plethora out there. I can think of some bad ones too.
Oh yeah, there are a handful of them. But
I already know what I'm going to pass if he passes this to me.
Well, let's go. Argo movie.
Sum of All Fears cast.
That was Morgan Freeman movie.
Of course it is.
Nice.
I remember seeing that one in theaters.
Nicely done.
Cool. Okay.
Which Morgan Freeman was in the Mickey Mouse South Park episode that just came out, too.
Really?
So another incentive for you to see it.
God, I got to see this.
Every time he talks, he earns a freckle.
The Dark Knight cast.
Let's go Heath Ledger movie.
A Knight's Tale movie.
Yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You cast.
Son of a...
I know that one.
Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
Movie.
The Bourne Identity cast.
Beautiful.
Matt. And
I feel like this is one of those things where it's been long enough, and as long as we don't retread.
Plus, it wasn't real the first time. This time it's real.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Matt Damon. Movie.
All right, I will say the Talented Mr. Ripley movie.
Okay. Okay.
Disgusting.
Horrible, but that's just an easy,
I understand.
And as I pass that answer, I'm going to offer anyone a beverage while I get up for a second.
I'm good.
I'm okay, thank you.
Thank you, though.
I'm going to say The Departed cast.
Mark Wahlberg. Movie.
So another movie with Marky Mark?
Yep.
But not the Funky Bunch.
Kurt doesn't know any of those.
I don't know any of those. Let's see who's done their homework since the last time that I was here and we played Movie Phone. Boogie Nights actor or cast.
I think this was actually passed me last time as well.
Yes, it was. I actually knocked out three people on this question last time.
Yeah. So I will stick with my usual answer for this because I still haven't seen it, but I know of somebody specific in this and say Heather Graham movie.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
You have learned from your mistakes.
No, I got that one before. That was my same answer last time.
Oh.
I think somebody else got screwed up on it somehow.
Maybe. I knocked out a lot of people with that.
Yes.
He was one of them.
The Hangover cast.
Zach Galifianakis. Movie.
Ooh.
Due Date movie.
Out Cold movie.
What a great movie.
I could have said Cast, but I was polite.
I knew Cast in that movie too.
I love that
movie. Live at the Purple Onion.
Ooh.
Movie.
G-Force movie.
Oh my god.
I'm proud of that one.
What is the name of that movie?
The Campaign.
Oh, Cast. That's a good one too.
That's a good one too. And I do like that's a
I got out of it.
Comfortable jumping off point. Whatever it is, I can't think of it now, but I'll look it up later. There's this really great action movie that he's in with a ton of other comedians and great actors.
Interesting.
And I will look it up. It's a fantastic movie that got really over or really underrated. But it's
Zach Galifianakis is in?
Yes. It's really interesting. Really great movie. But I will say Will Ferrell movie. Just to keep going.
Anchorman cast.
Mm-hmm. Steve Carell cast.
Ben Stiller cast. You just remember his role.
Como está?
All right, I'll go that same vein, and I will say Vince Vaughn, but I will say movie.
Okay, and I will say Wedding Crashers cast.
Owen Wilson, movie.
Shanghai Knights cast.
Damn it, I was hoping you were going to stay Behind Enemy Lines for another Gene Hackman.
How did I do?
You win all the movie bluffs.
Okay, Shanghai Knights.
I didn't realize he was the person who saw Shanghai Knights.
So I will say Jackie Chan movie.
Now we're really getting at it.
Rush Hour cast.
Chris Tucker movie.
Oh, please send this this way. Please send this this way.
Friday cast.
Oh, I was thinking of a different one, but that works too. I will say,
you got knocked the fuck out.
Oh shit, I'm having that white person moment where
I don't have those moments.
Where it's one of the ices. But I'm gonna say
Vanilla?
Luckily not.
It is. It is him. There's a few different people in that movie.
Yeah. I just haven't seen it in a really long ass time. I can't think of that guy's name. Going out on a limb, and I'm going to say, oh. Okay, I'm safe saying this.
I wish I went after you.
I will say, see, I'm having these second doubts. You know what? I'm just going to bow out just to perpetuate this thing, but in doing so, I'm going to make it tougher on him by challenging you.
Ice Cube movie.
There you go.
That actually helped me.
I was so close to saying Ice-T. I was just like, I know I'm wrong.
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Definitely Ice Cube.
Three Kings cast.
Mm.
George Clooney movie.
I regret now.
Batman Forever cast.
Nibbles.
Oh my gosh. Alicia Silverstone, I believe.
Yep.
Hey, thanks. Movie.
I want to go down this path, and so does he.
Clueless cast.
Though, wasn't she in Batman and Robin? Wasn't it Batman Forever first, and then Batman and Robin? I mean, since it's already been locked in.
True.
That's why I jumped in.
Yeah, you're correct.
Oh, well, you're too correct. Late now.
Adam's gotten away with it twice, guys. Come on.
All those bad Batmans just run together for me.
Yeah.
But still, Clueless cast, you
said? Cast.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about his name, and his name is not coming to mind, but I'm going to go with it. Mike Rudd movie.
Calling Your Bluff.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's Paul Rudd.
Son of a bitch.
So that means, Adam, it is Clueless cast to you?
Paul Rudd movie.
Is anyone surprised that I knew that, by the way? That was close. I'm surprised.
See, but when you said knocked up, I thought you had it. When you had said knocked up way back when.
Yeah, I knew the last name. I didn't know the first
name. Yeah, knocked up. I thought you had it.
Cast.
And that's where I wanted to go with that.
What's his name? I don't have to go down that route.
Well,
do it.
These are the people that I know really well.
Crap, why can't I think of his name? I can hear his voice. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Are you thinking about the main person?
Face, yep.
I need to show you something of his after the show that I happened upon that I believe you'd appreciate.
I hope you're not talking about what I think you're talking about.
Make some noise.
He's not.
If you know, no, no, okay. I'll try.
I was thinking sexy pictures.
No.
I want some of those.
Long form music video.
Okay, I'm good. Alan Tudyk, movie.
Retro.
Okay, so after your answer, I have to scream something very loudly at you.
Oh, Seth Rogen. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Which?
For some reason, I couldn't get
one. You can ask. I've asked before.
Which one is Alan Tudyk?
You can ask for her character in the movie.
Katherine Heigl's boss, who's like, tighten it up.
Yep, I know what else she's in.
Yeah, he.
Oh, that one.
Alan Tudyk. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the female who's in the room.
Ah.
The reason that he confidently also brought this up is because we have multiple conversations about Alan Tudyk based on how obscure his name is, but how recognizable of a person he is.
Sure.
And how he seems to pop up in the most unlikely places.
Which
I'll go with the Devil Wears Prada cast.
That's worth looking up, actually.
Whoa.
Well, he didn't challenge yet. Is he challenging?
I'm calling that bluff.
Okay. Oh, for the win. Yeah.
That just struck me as one that could have someone like that in it.
Okay.
Because I'm not even entirely sure who you're referring to. But
the Devil Wears Prada.
How was he the Candy King, by the way?
Candy King?
Wreck-It Ralph. Alan Tudyk.
We're seeing it. Don't say it yet. We're seeing it.
We're seeing it tomorrow. No. I'm just saying who voiced him.
You just ruined the whole movie
for
us.
We're going to see Wreck-It Ralph tomorrow.
Spoiler.
Well, then you'll know another Alan Tudyk role.
Right. He was... I didn't know he was the Candy King. Or actually, I did, because we joked about it, didn't we? Yeah.
Please tell me we have one more round still.
We're getting pretty close into wrapping it up, but we can definitely do more rounds as a bonus track if we so choose.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I need to remember what movie I was looking up.
Devil Wears Prada.
Katie Shea is looking at it. Do you see him?
Yes, and I'm not seeing it either.
No, I figured that was the case. Congratulations.
But he was in Knocked Up, so that's good for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew it.
I just wanted to verify since I had no idea.
But he was the pilot on Firefly. He was in Transformers 3, randomly.
You guys have done your research on him.
He, as we've said, is also in Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, let's pull up a picture of him so you can see what he looks like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's recognizable, but his last name just throws you for a loop because Tudyk, really?
Yeah. What else has he been in?
Was he in Dodgeball?
Yes, he was in Dodgeball.
He was the pirate in Dodgeball?
He was Pirate Steve.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Steve the Pirate.
Yeah. Yep.
But Drew, you were the last person in the round as Adam got the point on that one.
Yep.
So do you have anything to plug that you know of that you're participating in or something that you want other people to see that's going on Friday or thereafter when the episode drops?
I really don't. I'll leave the airtime to other people.
Are you on Twitter or anything like that to hype as well?
No, sir. I stay as far away from that as I possibly can. You know, I remember Brian Williams at one point was asked, why aren't you on Twitter? And he said, the answer was, when I come home, my wife doesn't care what I've done. My kids don't care what I've done. My dog doesn't care what I've done. And until I have a more interesting answer, I won't go on Twitter. So I'm sort of the same way.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Curtis, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Hunt the Big Bear.
At Hunt the Big Bear. Yeah, that's me. I'm going to go ahead and plug Edina Speech, as I always do. We're kicking off our season here, coming up the week after Thanksgiving here. Wow, that's coming up quick. We'll start doing our workshops, and our season will officially start mid-January, which we're very excited for. I think the kids are really excited. Also, I'm going to go ahead and give a plug out to St. Thomas football this Saturday.
11-0.
Yeah, this Saturday we have second-round playoff game against Elmhurst College out of Chicago at 12 p.m.
Here or there?
At St. Thomas.
Nice.
We were blessed with our own side of the bracket. So luckily we'll have home field advantage for this game, and then if we win next game, and then pending circumstances, might even be the game after that if things keep going right.
Sweet.
But definitely this game, 12 p.m. on this Saturday against Elmhurst College. Should be a good game. Bring the family. It's always usually we get a good turnout for Thanksgiving because families are in town, you know, and on Thursday, and then on Saturday, you know, families will come to the game, and normally we get a great turnout. So, you know, if you're around in near the St. Paul area, please come out to St. Thomas and support us. That's always a good stuff.
Is St. Thomas picked up by FSN North or anything like that?
We have WCCO contract, which means that all of our games can be found on WCCO the radio.
Okay.
And then if you go to the St. Thomas Athletic website and go through football, normally we have links, live links to our games also through WCCO
Cool.
Some stuff. A lot of our TV air, though, won't happen until regional finals, which will be not this week, but next week. And then it's not regional, it's semifinals. So not this week, not next week, but the week after that, December 7th will be the first day, and if we make it that far, pending the blessed situation to be able to do so, ESPN covers that game and then the finals, which are actually out in Salem, so you will be able to catch that on some form of ESPN. I think it's ESPNU.
The Ocho.
But yeah, that's my life in a nutshell.
Damn you,
right,
Alan
now.
Tudyk.
If you play Call of Duty, I play a lot of Call of Duty. You can find me on the Xbox 360, Steve, STEVE, space Tizzard, TIZZARD. That's Steve Tizzard. Please play with me. We ball hard on the 360.
Nice.
I just ball on the 360. Not very hard. Normal yeah. balling.
I just ball into my pillow because I'm soft at heart. Adam, how about you?
Okay. when is Madness this month, Katie Shea? Is it this coming week? November 27th, Madness at the Playwright Center up on Franklin, hosted by the Unit Collective. They do this once a month during the kind of the school year, I suppose you could say. They take the summer off because they're doing fringe stuff. But yeah, it's a really awesome, what do we have? Yeah, and it's a Mad Thanksgiving potluck, November 27th. And basically what it is the playwrights from the Unit Collective all write a 10-minute play, and then they hand the scripts to the actors, who rehearse for a half hour, and then they perform the show the same night. So it's like a quick shot of awesome theater, and it's a whole bunch of talent all in one place, and some really amazing things have happened as a result in past episode or occurrences. So yeah, it's just a great night, and you can find me on Twitter at @ADAMERDMANN. It's my name, and you can find out what I've been listening to music wise on Last FM. My name there is Adman7, and I believe that's all I have for this week. Dan, what do you have
To report on? Last week the pub sing was awesome and was fun, and I highly recommend going to Merlin's Rest when you have the opportunity, because they are at 36th and Lake in Minneapolis. Fun bar to go to. Irish pub. Good place. The other thing that I always plug that's actually starting next Friday is the British Aero Awards at the Walker Arts Center. Lots of European and British ads that have won awards are broadcasting at the Walker Arts Center. Really funny. There are funny ones. There are creative ones. There are depressing but informative ones. And it's just a great evening. I'm going on the 4th, so I'll report in when I on what I see, but it goes from November 30th to December 30th. Tickets are $10 unless you are a member of the Walker Arts Center, and then it's for $8. And you can find out more at walkerart.org. And other than that, I don't think anything else is going on, as Adam points to somebody possibly behind me trying to kill me.
Yes. There is.
But while Katie goes and kills that for me.
Get out of here!
Oh, the door was open?
Yeah, it popped open.
Oh, well.
It was a ninja. I saw it.
I guess so. Yeah. So, other than that, you can find me on Twitter, Dan L. Whelan, WHELAN. I try to use it as much as I can.
Is there a poison needle in your neck?
my voice hasn't gotten slowed or slurred, so according to Hollywood, no.
I think I saw Chris Farley standing behind him.
That's a Beverly Hills Ninja
He's
joke.
Not yeah. dead. He's
that,
not
that,
dead.
I think that was the first VHS I officially owned. Oh, was, that's a was good that one. One.
He's gotcha. Just been in hiding, waiting for his chance to kill Dan Whalen all these years.
He's very good at hiding.
No more podcasts. All right, so that's it for episode 61. So thank you, Drew. Thank you, Curtis, for being on episode 61.
Yes, thank you. You very
thank
much,
Thank you
guys.
For having me.
And
happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. Or happy Black Friday for everyone who made the weird choice of doing that while most of us are probably sleeping in still.
And happy Cyber Monday.
Yes, Cyber Monday. That's the big one.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, everybody. And we'll see everybody next week for episode 62. Bye.
Bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Bye. No? Okay.